And amen. All right, Hebrews chapter 12 tonight. We began a message in Sunday morning or Sunday evening to overcome bitterness. And we preached on beware of bitterness Sunday morning. And tonight we're going to finish up that message on overcoming bitterness. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. If you would, in honor of God's word, stand to our feet and we'll read verse 14. Hebrews 12, verse 14. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Bless your word tonight. Move in our hearts and our lives, and may you get glory in all that's said and done. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Now, Sunday evening, I talked about how to overcome bitterness, and I talked about overcoming bitterness not from the perspective of already having bitterness, but overcoming bitterness so that you don't get bitter. And so, if you're not bitter tonight, this will help you if you apply it to your life not to get that away. And so, once you get bitter, boy, it's a battle. It's a fight to overcome that bitterness. And you can do it. But I'm telling you, it's going to take much prayer. It's going to take much you just surrendering your heart to the Lord. It's going to take much forgiving. It's going to take much grace. And boy, when you fail in that, you find yourself in real trouble. Amen? And so before you get bitter, these are some ways that you can protect yourself from getting that away. Number one, we talked about Sunday night. That in verse 14 says, follow peace with all men. I put it this way, pursue peace with all others. Pursue peace with all others. In other words, that word follow means, it means to seek after eagerly. It means to run after or flee for. It means to acquire. In other words, tonight, there must be a determination in your heart, and there must be a decision in your heart, and also a direction that you're going to want peace. Amen? And so, if you're going to have peace, you're going to have to want peace. You've got to be determined in your heart and make a decision, and you're going to have to say, this is the direction I'm going in. For example, somebody wants to bring up war or battle or fight with you. You just say, I'm not going that direction. I'm not going that way. I'm going to pursue eagerly peace in this matter. In other words, what I'm trying to say tonight, if you are at the mindset of just with a determination and decision and direction that I'm going to have peace in whatever I'm facing, peace in whatever I've got to deal with, you'll find yourself not getting bitter. You'll find yourself pursuing peace rather than trying to get even or trying to retaliate or trying to get the last word. Sometimes you draw peace by not making the last word. You don't always have to have the last word. You don't always have to have the last cut and dig. You don't always have to have the last thought. Amen? Sometimes just be quiet. The Bible says, study to thyself to be quiet. Amen? The Bible also said, a soft answer turneth away wrath. And so there's something to be said that a man is a fool who just gives off all that he has in his head. That's a fool tonight. And so if you're going to be wise, you've got to be wise in not getting bitterness. Because bitterness will destroy you. We learned that in verse 15. God talks about that it will trouble you and that it will defile many that are around you. So bitterness is a terrible, terrible thing. So one way not to get bitter is to pursue peace. In other words, that word peace means rest. Bring rest to the situation. Don't put fuel to the fire. Don't create more havoc, more trouble. Just put it to rest. Also, the word peace means to exempt from rage. Don't be the one that's creating the rage. Don't be the one that's creating the trouble, the problem. You need to be the one that is making peace, the one that's determined to have peace. The word peace also means to not be part of a havoc of war. You don't want to be part of any kind of war. You don't want to be part of any kind of battle. You don't want to be part of any kind of strife. Tonight you need to pursue peace. Pursue peace in your home. Pursue peace with your relationship. Pursue peace at church. Pursue peace at work. Wherever you go, don't be part of the battle. The word peace means harmony. It also means to offer peace. In other words, the mindset that you have to have is that I want peace. That's the mindset. We learn that out of Psalms 120, verse 7. The motivation of it is in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. It says that peacemakers shall be called the child of God or the children of God. And so tonight, blessed are those that are peacemakers. They shall be called the children of God. Nowhere in the Bible does God give any kind of honor or any kind of prize for being a troublemaker. Nowhere in the Bible does God at all give you some kind of reward in the last days or eternal life for you being a trouble of who you, where you go. It does say, though, blessed is the man that is a peacemaker. Amen? He should be, so that ought to be your motivation. What's your motivation to keeping peace? I'm a child of God. And a child of God is a peacemaker. Number two, the managing of it is Romans chapter 12 and verse 18. And let me read that to you real quick. Romans chapter 12, verse 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. That ought to be the managing of why you are going to pursue peace. It's because the Bible says that you need to, at all cost, if it's all possible, if everything that lieth within you, man, you need to bring peace. Amen? And so if you're pursuing peace, you'll find bitterness will not be part of your heart. And then we talked about pursuing peace, but we also talked about practicing holiness. Amen? To God. Not only pursuing peace with others, but practicing holiness to God. Verse 14, the Bible says, follow peace with all men and holiness. In other words, follow holiness. Pursue holiness. Run after holiness. Amen? I mean, acquire holiness. Seek after holiness. And holiness tonight can be seen by the way we practice. Practice holiness. And you find tonight that if you ever begin to practice holiness, the bitterness will not be part of your life, nor part of your heart. Amen? And so, we're talking about how to overcome bitterness before you get bitterness, and here's how you do it. Practice holiness. The word holiness means devotion to God. Tonight, if you and I can be devoted to God, you'll find never will you have bitterness. If you ever can be sanctification in God, separated unto God, you'll find that bitterness will not play a part of your life. If you can get to the place of holiness where it's purification with God, that means that you're purified. That means that you're cleansed. That means that, friend, there's nothing in your heart at all that's going to be crossways with God. And you keep that away. Not that you don't sin, but when you do sin, you make it right with God. Immediately. If somebody says something to you wrong, somebody says something that offends you, upset you, there's ways that we need to handle that. The number one is you need to go to them alone and you deal with that and tell them that you was offended. And if the Bible says that if they accept that you gain a brother. If they don't accept it, well then you have cleared yourself and you don't have to be bitter towards it. Amen? Retaliation is a bad thing for flesh. We love to get even. We love to get back. But tonight, if we're going to overcome bitterness, we're going to have to practice holiness. Amen? Now, we're not going to practice holiness because to get saved, we're going to practice holiness because we are saved. And in one way that we can stop bitterness entering our lives is through the way of practicing holiness. That's devotion to God, sanctification in God, and purification with God. Now, we talked about holiness a little bit. You don't turn there, but in Romans chapter 6, verse 19, we talked about when you get saved, you're going to yield to holiness. That's what you're going to yield to. Also, in Romans 6, 22, the Bible says, when you get saved, you're going to have the fruit of holiness. And so, it's something that will be produced out of you. Not that you have to have it. It will just come forth. It will be natural. It will be part of your nature. The divine nature of God is the fruit of holiness. Then 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, the Bible says that we'll perform holiness. And Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24, says that we're created in holiness. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 7, we are called unto holiness. And then Hebrews 12, 10 says, when God chastens us, He chastens us to be partakers of His holiness. And so we find, from the day we're born, and the day that we begin to grow, and the day that we become mature, and then the day we fail God and He chastises us, all that equals holiness. If we find ourselves in holiness, we'll find ourselves not in bitterness. Amen? And so I'm trying to tell you a way how to overcome bitterness, and it's pursuing peace with all men. It is practicing holiness to God. And then thirdly tonight, where we need to be, is preparing to see God myself. In chapter 12, verse 14, it says, which no man shall see the Lord. Now you and I got to understand tonight that in order for us to see God, we got to prepare ourselves to see God. And in preparing ourselves, the Bible says clearly right here in this verse, pursue or follow peace with all men and holiness. Without it, no man shall see God. So you're not going to get out, you're not going to get to God without being holy. You're not going to get there. You're not going to get to heaven without holiness. And you're not going to get to heaven without pursuing the peace with all men. Friend, that's what we are as Christians tonight. The Bible's not saying that you have to be holy and you got to follow peace in order to get to heaven. What it's saying is that when you get saved, you're going to be holy and you're going to follow peace, and that's going to cause you to see God. Amen? All I'm saying tonight is this. We got to prepare ourselves to that, doing that. And here's how we do it. If we know that we are saved and born again, then we're going to see God. And we know we're going to see the Lord, then we got to prepare to see Him. In other words, what we want to do, we want to please the Lord. Now, one way to overcome bitterness is to pursue peace. Another way is to practice holiness. A third way is to prepare ourselves to see God ourselves. In other words, I'm not concerned about whether you're going to see God or not. I'm concerned about me seeing God. And so we got to come to the place, we got to stop worrying about what everybody else is doing, what everybody else has got to face God with, whatever everybody else has got to give an account of, and we got to start worrying about what we're going to give account of, right? Amen? And when you get to that place, when everybody else is not your issue, when everybody else is not your focus, but you and God is your focus, friend, you want to please the Lord. You want to obey the Lord, and you want to honor the Lord. Amen? That's how you prepare yourself to meet God. If you can meet God when He's pleasing with you, you can meet God and He's honorable toward you. If you meet God and you obey Him, it's going to be a good welcome. Amen? And so tonight, we've got to prepare ourselves. And while we're preparing ourselves, bitterness has no play in our lives. You see, if we're going to haphazardly live our Christian life, and we're going to go around sometimes obeying God, sometimes wanting to please Him, sometimes we want to honor Him, friend, then you're going to find bitterness all in your Christian walk. Because you're not really trying to prepare yourself, you're just trying to get even, or you're trying to just get by, you're trying to live day by day. We don't live day by day, we live eternally, amen? We're not looking back, we're looking forward. We're seeking that country, amen? We're seeking that place, amen, where God has built and God has created for us. We call it heaven, amen? And so we're looking that away. We're looking heavenward. We're looking upward tonight. And doing that, we got to want to please Him, obey Him, and honor Him. Now, to keep His Word tonight is the most important thing. In order for us to prepare ourselves to see God, we've got to keep His Word. Now, what does His Word have to say about bitterness? We're going to turn to a passage, and I'll preach from there. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25. Turn there. It kind of gives us the explanation of what I'm trying to say tonight. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 25. Hebrews 4 verse 25 says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. I want you to notice tonight God's will in those verses. God's will tonight. God's will He's talking about is don't plant the seed. See what He says in verse 25, He says, we are all members of one another. Amen? That means all of us tonight are part of each other. There's none of us tonight higher, none of us lower, none of us are more important than the other tonight. We're all members of one another. We all have the same head. We have all the same Father. We have all the same Savior. We have all the same goal. We have all the same Spirit. Tonight we have nothing that is more than anyone else tonight. We're all members of one another. And then He says this. He says in verse 26, He says, be ye angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And what He's saying is don't plant the seed. Back in verse 15 of Hebrews, He talks about the root of bitterness. The root of bitterness. And tonight, in that root of bitterness, friend, you can see bitterness tonight because of the sourness of people. Amen? Now, they won't call that bitterness. They're going to call that the fruit of bitterness. Sourness, unhappiness, miserableness. All right? But if you don't get the root that's in below, inside that individual's heart, where that root has been coming from. In other words, that root had to start from a seed. And that seed, friend, is right here in this verse. Be ye angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath. And all I'm saying tonight is bitterness a whole lot of times happen by plant that seed being planted overnight. In other words, you get angry with someone, you get upset with someone, someone wronged you, someone has done something to you, someone who has hurt you, no matter what it is, what they said, what they've done, and you do not deal with it, and you do get angry, and you let it sleep overnight. When it sleeps overnight, that root of bitterness begins because a seed has been planted, and now that root of bitterness is springing up, according to the verse 15, springing up and troubling you, and now sooner or later it's going to swell up in you. It's going to, that word spring up, springing up means it's like a balloon. It's swelling up in you. And so that little bitty issue that happened at night between you and your spouse, or you and your children, or you and a member, or you and somebody at work, or you and a family member, or whoever it was, you slept on it. And over throughout the night, that seed, the root of bitterness, it's now begun to swell up in you. Because you allowed it to plant the seed. God's saying, do not let this anger go each night. In other words, every day that you get angry, deal with it. Don't let anger out of control. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. All it's saying is whatever happening today, you make it right today. Whatever happens today, you ask for forgiveness today. Whatever you do today, you go into that individual and say, listen, you hurt me, you offended me, and I've got to handle this before the sun goes down. Because if I don't, throughout the night, it's going to be a swelling up in me. And man, that root of bitterness is now going to show some fruit. And I've got to handle it before, because the Bible says that's God's will. God's will is that we be not angry, and would we not, and the Bible says, be angry and sin not, of course, and let not that sun go down upon our wrath. And so, do not tonight, according to God's Word, notice His will, and His will is don't plant the seed. I'm talking about that root of bitterness. Number two, notice the words warning. Not only the words will, but the words warning. Think of verse 27. It says, neither give place to the devil. Now tonight, that's the warning that God says to us. That if you allow this anger, you allow this envy, you allow this jealousy, you allow this offense, you allow this hurt to go forth, to go on, that seed is now planted, that root of bitterness will begin to spring up, and friend, guess who's going to get involved in it? Satan. You have now given him place to magnify it. Now tonight, that's what he will do. He'll do three things with your little seed and with your little root of bitterness that you have allowed to go over that day. And he'll do this. He'll magnify it, he will intensify it, and he will amplify it. Now tonight, we all know, if we've ever been married, and all of us have been married, that when we get in little spats with our spouse, and it just don't jive, and it just don't work, and she goes to bed on one side of the bed, and you go to bed on the couch, and you're in the other room, or you go to bed, you say, that's my bed, she can sleep wherever she wants to sleep, and she finds somewhere to sleep, or you don't talk to each other in the morning, or in the evening, or you might go a couple of days without talking. And we'll tell you what's happening here. We think it's cute. And we think we're really funny, and we really think that we're really teaching them. But really, spiritually, what's taking place if you're a Christian is now you have went against God's will. Alright? And that's because he was angry, and that you sin now because you let it go down, let the sun go down in your wrath. So now the seed has been planted. And now the root is starting to grow. And now the bitterness is going to show itself to be ugliness here soon. But now, the devil's part of it. And he is going to magnify it. I mean, he is going to make it bigger than what it really is. And if the one who's having the argument, or the one that you're having the discussion with is immature, or not even a Christian, or one that is a Christian, but's backslidden on God, or on either case, anybody but one who's walking strong with God, can handle this, but those who are not walking with God strong can't handle this because the devil gets involved. He magnifies it. He intensifies it. He amplifies it, and it's blown out of proportion. Can somebody say amen? Is that true? When you give place to the devil because you didn't do God's will, you got God's warning here tonight. And he said, man, don't give place to the devil. And we do that, and we find bitterness, and he sits on our shoulder. He speaks to our hearts. He whispers all these things into our minds. And then those that we're bitter against, or those that are bitter against us, he's now fueling the fire. He's now creating other issues. He's now putting other things in the way. He's like putting fuel to the fire. And now that we have one issue here now we got two issues. Now those two issues are just huge. And the only way we can fix this thing about leaving our shoes as a man in the front room while we went to bed, the only way we can fix this now is at divorce court. It all started with just a pair of shoes in the front room. But man, it's done went off now. It's done went this way and went that away. It's done out of control. You know why it's out of control? Because we disobeyed God's will. God's will is be angry and sin not and let not the sun go down upon your wrath. But we let the seed grow. And now the root is coming. And while the root is coming, it's the devil that's magnifying it. It's him that's amplifying and making it bigger than what it really is. Did we see that tonight? And so, if you and I could see the notice of God's will and God's warning, but then I want you to notice that it says don't give Satan the place, but also don't grieve the Spirit. Look at verse 30. It says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. And tonight, friend, when you disobey God's will and you don't heed God's warning, you know what you do? You grieve the Spirit. Now the word grieve tonight is a word that means that your activity has saddened God. Your activity has put sorrow in God. Tonight, we've got to be careful that the Word of God is something that we know its will, and we obey the word of God's will. Then the warning, give not place to the devil. And then I want you to show you thirdly tonight the Word's wisdom. Verse 31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. In other words, what he's saying is put away. And tonight, these are something that the Word's wisdom has given to us, is put away these things. Put away. Now, how are we going to do that? How are we going to put away anything? Tonight, if you got bitterness, or if you got wrath, if you got anger, if you got clamor, you got evil speaking, he said, put away with all malice tonight. And so, if you don't have that, well then it's because tonight you have been pursuing others with peace, and you have been practicing holiness, and you've been preparing yourself to meet God. That's how you keep away from bitterness, because it's such an easy thing to get in us. But tonight, the Bible says to put it away. Now, how are we going to put it away? Say it did get in us. Say we do have some of that tonight. Well, this is what it says. It says, put it away. Let it go. Let all bitterness and wrath be put away. Well, how are we going to do that tonight? Well, one verse or a couple of verses. And let's turn to Proverbs 28, verse 13. Proverbs 38, Proverbs 28, 13 gives us a great, great way how we can handle this sin, because bitterness is sin. The Bible says in 28, 13 of Proverbs, it says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Now, how in the world are we going to overcome this bitterness if it gets involved in our lives? Number one, we're going to have to confess it. You know what it means to confess it tonight? It means to admit to it. That's what it means. Tonight, you have to admit tonight you're bitter. You've got to admit tonight that you are wrath and you are angry. You've got to admit tonight that you have clamor and evil speaking and there's malice involved. Tonight, you've got to just come out and admit it. Confess it. Agree with God. That's what the word confess would mean. Agree with God. God says, this is my will, this is my warning, this is my wisdom, and if you don't do it, you have to confess it. Amen? This is how we're going to overcome this bitterness, is confess it. Admit it. Number two, we're going to have to forsake it. That word forsake means to relinquish it. There's two aspects of the world of getting forgiveness or getting overcoming this bitterness. Number one is admitting that you're bitter. That's a step in itself. Most people who are bitter tonight, they will not admit that they're bitter. And they'll never prosper. They'll never get over it. So you have to admit it. Now here's what happens when you find someone who's bitter tonight. You find someone who's bitter, and being bitter, as I preached the other Sunday morning, I preached about how they do and what they do, and we know about all that. And what happens is when you approach them in their attitude or in their sourness or their unhappiness or they're just being ugly and mean, you say, listen, you know, you are being mean to me. You're being mean to the children. You're being mean to everybody around you. You know, and something's wrong with you. Something's going on. What's happening with you? I need to know that what's going on in you. And I feel like it's bitterness because of something that's happened in the past or something that's happened here recently. And the first thing that they're going to do, people who are bitterness, is going to say, you know what? I'm not bitter, but it's you that's the problem. And it's you that created what I am. And it's you that caused me. And it's you, and you're the one miserable, and you're the one unhappy. And it's you. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't be the way that I am. And so they're not interested in saying, you know what? You're right. I am bitter. If they ever get to I am bitter, then you got halfway there. But I see that most people that are bitter, who's not Christians, who are weak Christians, who are backslidden Christians, will not come to the place unless God gets hold of their heart and say, you know what? I am bitter. Let all bitterness be put away. You're not going to be able to do that until you confess it. Amen? Number two, the word forsake. Forsake is the second part of that, and that is to relinquish it. You know, it's one thing to say, okay, I am bitter. But you know what? That's where I'm going to be. That's one thing to be like that. I am bitter. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to try to tell you something I'm not. I'm going to tell you the truth tonight. I am bitter, but that's the way that I'm going to be, and you got to live with it. See, there's no prospering in that. You can't let go of bitterness like that. You got to come to the place and say, you know what? I am bitter. And I know I'm bitter because of what they said. And I'm bitter because of what they've done. I'm bitter because of this and that and the other. But I'm wrong with God. I'm not right with God. And they're not right with God. But I'm not concerned about whether they're right with God or not. I'm concerned about whether I'm right with God or not. And I am wrong with God. I am wrong, absolutely wrong. I am wrong, wrong, wrong. And I admit it. I did it. And the second thing, you must come to the place and say, you know what? I give it up. I lay it down. I relinquish it. I not hold it up. I will not mention it to you again. I will not hold it against you. I have took it and left it. I have thrown it away. I have casted it off. I have said, it's gone. It's done. It's over. I'm done with it. I give up in it. It's over. Amen? Friend, when you can relinquish it and when you can admit it, you can confess it and forsake it, you'll find prosperity. You'll find forgiveness. Amen? The Bible says, you shall have mercy. Mercy. And that's what we need tonight. We need mercy. You have to remember verse 15, the Bible says that we should look diligently lest we shall fail of the grace of God. Remember that? And being failing in the grace of God is meaning that we're going to fall from the graciousness of God, the kindness of God, the love of God, the thankfulness of God, the very kindness and goodness of God. We lose all that. Mercy is what we need. Tonight we can get mercy by confessing and by forsaking. The word cover means conceal or hide. You know, there's no prospering in that. Let me tell you what this word prosper means. It means to push forward. Isn't that amazing tonight? Here you are, you got bitterness in your heart, and you're not going forward, you're going backwards. The Bible says, listen, here's how you go forward. All you got to do is confess it, admit it. All you got to do is forsake it, relinquish it. He says, then I give you mercy, and you'll go forward. Amen. It's real simple tonight. I know it's difficult if you're in bitterness, though. And you need God's mercy to do such a thing. It means to go forward. It means to break out. It means to be profitable, the word prosper means. Mercy means compassion and forgiveness tonight. Then all of a sudden, lastly tonight, we'll close. Verse 32, he says, put on. And so, here's some words of wisdom tonight in order for us to make ourselves ready to meet God. Is that we got to put on some things. The first thing that I notice that we put on is be kind one to another. Tonight, this is not a suggestion. This is not a multiple choice. This is God's Word. It's the wisdom of God's Word tonight. He's saying to you and I that if we're ever going to overcome bitterness, we've got to be kind one to another. That's not something that you're going to just grow into. It's not something tonight that you're going to learn. It's not something tonight that you're going to just read about and you're going to apply to your life. But it's something that you got to become. Amen? Be kind one to another. Now, where do we get kindness from? From the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? Kindness is grace. We get God's grace. When you get God's grace, you get kind. The fruit of the Spirit, you get kind. Amen? So you find in God there's kindness. But we got to be kind to one another. That word kind means polite. Polite. The word also means tonight, it means courteous or courteousness. We got to be courteous. You want to be kind tonight, you want to obey God's wisdom, you're going to have to be kind. You got to be kind on purpose. You got to be kind when all else is just unkind. You got to be kind when no one else is kind. You got to be kind and polite and courteous when everybody else is rude and ugly. You're going to be the one who's not going to have bitterness. You're going to have to be the one who's going to prepare yourself to see God. And doing that, you're going to have to realize and understand you have God's will, God's Word, and God's wisdom. And in God's wisdom, it is that you're going to have to be kind one to another. I don't like being kind. They don't deserve being kind to. That's not the question tonight. Well, you know what? They wasn't kind to me. That's not even asked. All he says is to be kind one to another. Well, man, you know, how much do I need to put up with? Be kind one to another. Well, how long can I handle? I can only handle so much. Be kind one to another. Well, man, how long do I be polite? They're not polite to me. You know, they don't care about me. They're not courteous to me. Be kind one to another. See, what you're doing is you're preparing yourself to see God. That's what you're doing. You're not concerned about whether everybody else is kind. You're not concerned about whether everybody else is courteous. All you're concerned about is whether you are. See, if we can ever get this tunnel vision, we can ever get this focus and this fastened, you'll find that this life would be without bitterness completely. Because you can't be kind to somebody and bitter too. Don't work both ways. Isn't there something the Bible says about the water? You can't have sweet water and bitter water come out of the same fountain? That's what it says in James. Right? So you can't have sweet and bitter. It's either going to be one or the other tonight. Either you're going to be kind or you're going to be unkind. Tonight the Bible says if we're going to overcome bitterness, we've got to be kind. Kind. The word also means tonight the opposite of rudeness and crude and harsh and repulsive. That's the opposite of kind. The word kind also means to does not make one or someone else rough or crabby or sour. See, when you're kind, it don't make somebody else that away. They may be unkind to you, but it's not because you made them that away. Because if you're kind and courteous and polite, you're not going to make anybody be sour and ugly and rude. Amen? Now, if you got your little cutbacks and your little digs and your little sarcasms and your little sayings and your little facial movements and your little mouth movements and your little head shakes and your little walks and your little hit the door and slam the door and you got all this involved in you and you say, well, you know what? I just don't understand why, you know, I got bitterness in my heart. Well, there's a big problem right there. You just refuse to be kind. Now, am I saying this easy? No. Am I saying it's what God says to do? Yes. God's wisdom is put on kindness. Number two, he says put on tenderheartedness. Now, what is tenderheartedness? Well, tenderheartedness is sympathetic. Sympathetic. It also means to be a compassionate one. It means to be compassionate towards one who has fallen or who is falling. Huh. You're easily moved towards love is the word tenderhearted. And I think probably this tenderheartedness is probably one of the most difficult of all the three. The reason why is because what the Bible says is if we're going to overcome this bitterness, we're going to have to find ourselves being tender-hearted to those who do us wrong. Being tender-hearted to those who are falling right before our eyes. They're cussing us out. They're being ugly and rude and crude. They're calling names. They're absolutely just being slanderous to us. They're lying about the situation. they're creating such havoc and war. And man, you know, you come to a place where you don't know how much you can stand. But friend, the Bible says, be tender-hearted. It's tough. What happens if you stop being tender-hearted? You get bitter. Right, Brother Raymond? And so we're trying to overcome bitterness. And you over by being tender-hearted. You know, tonight we might want to just pray, God, help me be kind. And God, help me be tender-hearted. You know, it's easy to be compassionate towards those that are hurting. It's easy to be compassionate towards those that are without. It's easy to be compassionate toward those that are sorrowful. But the Bible, that's not what he's talking about here. He's talking about being tender-hearted to those that are falling. Those that are guilty of creating trouble in you. That's where really tender-heartedness comes in. And the reason why Jesus, or the Lord, can say this tonight is because while Jesus was walking on the earth, these are the things that he'd done. He was kind in every place. As they were putting the thorns on his face, on his brow, he was kind. As he was spitting in his face, he was kind. As they were slapping him, as they were putting the straps on his back, as they were mocking him and ridiculing him and looking at him, wagging their head and saying all kinds of things that were very rude and crude and harsh, he was kind. That's why tonight we have to be that way, because he was that way. Tender-hearted. Amen. Here, lastly now, is forgiving. I think tender-hearted is more difficult than forgiving tonight. It may not be for you, but it is for me. Forgiving, the Bible says in verse 32, even as God, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Forgiving. Forgiving tonight. Forgiving would mean tonight that you forgive and you forget. And there's many who will disagree with that on me. That's okay. Because even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you, if you study your Bible tonight, you'll know that those sins that have been forgiven will never be remembered again. They'll never be brought up again. You notice that, don't you? And so we have a forgiving, a command to forgive, but then we have a measurement of our forgiveness. In other words, do we forgive to the limit of what man can give? Forgive? Or do we forgive to the standard that is set forth by God? And so if we go over here on man to say, you know what? We're going to forgive. I'm not going to forget. And I'm not going to let it go. I'm not going to just let it wipe out. I'll never forget what you've done to me. And I will keep that down deep in my heart. Well, that's not the forgiveness that you received. See? Because if you receive that kind of forgiveness, you're not forgiven. And God is not God. But when you got forgiven, God said this to you. He says, I forgive you. And I forgive you for every sin you've ever committed. And I will cast your sins as far as the east is to the west, and I will remember them no more. Never a time will God ever look on you and I except he'll see the blood of the Lamb. He'll never see our sinful nature, our sinful ways anymore. He sees his divine nature. He sees Jesus' blood. He sees us as righteousness and justified before God tonight. And friend, this is what kind of forgiveness that you and I got to have if we're going to overcome bitterness. Is we're going to have to say to Sister Sophia, if she's done something really ugly to me, or she did something that was very light, and yet it's still offense, I have to come to her and say unto her, I have forgiven you without her asking me. Forgiveness is not required by being asked. None. I mean, you say, well, I don't believe that. Well, when Jesus was on the cross, he said this. He said, Father, forgive them for they know not what they've done. Did they ask for forgiveness yet? No. No. When Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, he was forgiving you of your sin. Amen. In order for it to be applied to your account, you got to receive it. Nowhere in the Bible does it say at all, and I differ with a bunch of people on this. People say you got to confess your sins and be saved. That is such a lie. How many of y'all in this room confessed every sin you ever committed when you got saved? It's impossible to confess your sins. Sins. It's impossible. So, If somebody comes to you and says, listen, I ask you to forgive me, you have an obligation to forgive them because Christ's forgiven you. Now, if somebody don't come to you and ask for forgiveness, you still got an obligation to forgive them as Christ has forgiven you. Amen? Now, it's if you don't want bitterness. If you want bitterness, then don't forgive. All right? Then you'll be bitter, be miserable, you'll be unhappy, and you'll find yourself sour all your life. Amen? We find tonight, I believe many Christians and many churches and many homes and many lives tonight are living a Christian life with bitterness in their heart, and they're miserable, they're unhappy, they're not settled, they're not happy in one way. They've got no peace and rest in their heart. And the reason why is because the root of bitterness is springing up. And it's troubling them, and it's defiling many thereby. Tonight I will say, there's a way to overcome bitterness. Pursue peace with all others. Practice holiness with God. Then prepare yourself to meet God. No man shall see the Lord without following after peace and holiness. Stand our feet, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If you need to come pray tonight, you come. If not, well, we'll just be dismissed.